We're going to look at a very powerful lesson this morning entitled Christ's Identity Established. Identity is very important. It's so important that in the U.S. government, they issue you what is called an identification card to make sure that every soldier, Jim, will know exactly who they are. If they forget for any moment who they are, all they have to do is look at their identification card. So, but I would submit to you that though identification cards are very useful and they've changed over the years, and they may help you remind us. As a matter of fact, I even saw a brother. I knew it was tough times coming when I looked into the eyes of a gentleman, you know, close to my age, and I saw him wearing his ID card around his neck. So that tells me that he may have had a case of forgetting who he was, so that if he ever got lost, somebody would see his card and know who he belonged to. But I think identification is very important. Your identity, who you are, is very important. Jesus the Christ was born in a manger low. Jesus the Christ was given a name, Yeshua, Jesus, Savior, Deliverer. He was given that name. Jesus the Christ, we saw him last week being run out of town, escaping Herod's venomous spew of hatred and defilement. Jesus the Christ, the baby, comes back up out of Egypt. And Jesus the Christ continued to grow and became a man. Matter of fact, he became a man like no other man has become man. As a matter of fact, John describes it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And lo and behold, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus was the God-man. Whenever you see Jesus Christ, you see God and man, but he is the God-man. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't understand why I'm excited this morning to talk about identification, knowing who you are. And in this particular pericope that we are going to examine this morning, we will see in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, continuing on through chapter 4, exactly who Jesus is. And it's important. It's so important that you know who Jesus is that later on in chapter 16 of the same book of Matthew's, Jesus gives them a refresher exam, Sister Harriet, and he asks them, who do men say that I am? And Peter replied. And Peter was, Peter was anthropos. Peter was a man. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's see how he got there, Sylvie. Let's see how he got this. Let's see how Jesus knows who he is. And the thing about it, I don't ever want anybody in here to think for one moment, just because Jesus for a moment shared divinity and took up humanity, that he was anything less than what he is. And so if we're to be followers of Jesus, we ought not ever forget who we really are. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all not excited enough for me. No. Pastor Brown has already given you the state of the church, but I want to give you the state of you. You know, how are you doing? Who are you? And as a matter of fact, why don't you just for a second, I know we ain't got a lot of time this morning, but I don't need a lot of time to talk about this, because I'm going to talk about Jesus, the Christ, the person of Christ this morning. Take a little time, the person next to you, and just ask them, what's your name? Now, you know what's important? You know what's really interesting? Y'all really ask the person next to you, what's your name? But you know, a more important question, Linda, a more important question is, who are you? Who are you? You got a name. But see, some people, unlike Christ, his name reveals his character, and his character meets my need. But some folk, you can't trust their name. You got to find out who they really are. Yeah, let me just go on and tell you about the lesson. In the lesson, chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and to John to be baptized. Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. Now, if you know anything about John the Baptist, John was named John, and Baptist is what he did. Baptism is what he did. But John baptized folk for repentance of sin. In other words, to stop doing what you're doing and be baptized for forgiveness of sin. Jesus is coming down to the river of Jordan, Sister Marshall, to be baptized. Y'all don't hear me. I don't have a lot of time, but all of you been in did I say all? All of y'all been in evangelism. And if you've certainly been in evangelism, you've been in Sunday school, you know that John the Baptist was a wild man who was baptizing folk for the remission of sin. And now Jesus comes to be baptized, seeking to be baptized. Verse 14 says what? But John what?
Saying, I have need to be baptized with thee, and comest thou to me?
John the Baptist says, pull up. I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. In other words, John says, I know who you are. Oh, wait a minute. How did John know that? John knew that in the womb of his mother. Oh, y'all don't hear me? Well, you know, the babies, you know, that are pregnant together. You know, their mamas who are pregnant together and these babies. And Jesus and Mary comes into the presence of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist broke out in a holy shout. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. See, John recognized who Jesus is. And John says, I know one thing. This man has no sin. If anybody's got sin, it's me. You baptize me. Oh, but listen to Jesus' reply. In other words, John knew who Jesus was. Verse 15 says what?
And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
John, I know you know that I'm 100% God, 100% man. I know you know that. But here, John, what you don't understand is that I need to participate in baptism, because not because I need to repent of any sin, but I need identification. Right. See, we get happy as Baptists, and we think that every time the word baptism comes up, that they're talking about dipping somebody in some water. But actually, baptism is both dipping and identification. Right. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Jesus says, in order for me to identify with all the infirmities that man has, I've got to do this. Because, and that tells me, that suggests to me, at least, that you ought to be baptized. That you ought, if Jesus submitted himself, because see, there was no law that said you had to be baptized. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, Trace, the only thing they had, the only thing they had was a ceremonial washing, but not baptism. This thing with John was a brand new thing. He says, you need to repent. That means stop. In other words, that means terminate. In other words, but Jesus, John was introducing a doctrine of termination. But here comes Jesus one day down at the Jordan to initiate a ministry of germination. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. If you've been to basic doctrine, matter of fact, the people back in basic doctrine, they're yawning. He's going through this again. But it allows, Jesus says, I need to do this in order to identify with man. You know I'm God. You know I'm the God man. But I need to do this to identify with man. John knew who he was. And the last time I checked, John was a man. What does verse 16 say?
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
And? A few minutes ago, I asked you to turn to your neighbor and ask what's your name or who you are to see if they could really identify you. In other words, Amanda, when Keith turned and looked at you, you said, oh, yeah, I know that's you. But see, that's man to man, Kent. Men know who you are. But let me tell you one thing. Men may know who you are. Mama may know who you are. Brothers may know who you are. Sister may know who you are. But there ain't nothing like God knowing who you are. Y'all don't hear me. See, your identity is firmly established if men know who you are. But if God says who you are, that's who you are. And like a dove, a manifestation of the dove, the Holy Spirit comes down and sits upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son. I mean, this voice from heaven identifies who is in the water. And he says that, you now have an opportunity down here at the Jordan to see the Godhead.
Y'all don't get it.
See, God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. But God is one in three personalities, distinctive, and yet uniformly to the same purpose. Oh, y'all. Distinctive in purpose. God the Father identifies Jesus as his beloved son. Matter of fact, John put it this way. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If God says who you are, that's who you are. Because the last time I checked, God made everything. The Godhead made everything. God in the persons of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made everything. And he made you and I. So God knows who you are. Men say who you are. But God knows who you are. When you can get God and man saying the same thing, you got a pretty established identity. People know who you are. But the interesting thing about this is that he's the beloved son. Oh, you better let that sink in. The beloved son means that he has favor. The beloved son says that he's something special. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, when people know, when God knows, and people know who you are and that you have special favor, the devil is going to get busy. You think just because you got a couple of scriptures bumping up against one another, and you think because you attend regularly Bible study and prayer meeting, and you have your secret prayer closet, you think that just because you got all that going for you, the devil's going to leave you alone. How do you say it in French? No. You can hold up. I'll just say no. The devil don't care. He's glad to know that you are special. Because as soon as he finds out that you are special, if ain't nothing special about you, the devil leave you alone. You ain't doing nothing for the kingdom, the devil will leave you alone. But as soon as you're getting ready to do something for the kingdom, do you realize Jesus is about to launch Christocentric ministry? Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, y'all, you have to come to Basic Doctrine to find that one out, because we ain't got enough time here this morning. But he's about to launch Christocentric ministry, and God has just announced, this is my beloved son, and I approve of him. I give the official stamp. And when God stamps you as special, you are special. So special that Jesus later declares, Rob, that I've been anointed to preach the gospel. God has purposed me to do this thing. God has anointed me to do this. Everybody shout it. Because verse 1 said of chapter 4, this is what it said. No, y'all read it because y'all won't believe me. Y'all won't believe that someone who just got endorsed by God, you man of God, you woman of God, you know, God has said great things about you. Read verse 1. Now, I want y'all not to get this twisted. Jesus wasn't grabbed by the devil and led into the wilderness. It says that the same dove, the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness. And it says to be tempted of the devil. Well, I can tell you, I've read scripture more than once. God don't tempt nobody. God knows you can fail. He made you. He knows your weaknesses. You pray to him and confess them every day. Somebody ought to get happy about this. God doesn't tempt you. God certainly will test you. You know why? Because, see, the testing of your faith. Without a test, you ain't got nothing to say. Without a test, you don't have a testimony. And here, the Holy Spirit, just after he got out of the water, he leads him into the wilderness. Now, first of all, this wilderness is a wilderness, y'all. And it's really ironic, because for those of you who've been to the Holy Land, know that, you see from Mount Nebo, you see this desert on one side, and you see the Jordan River on the other side, and on the other side of Jordan is fertile and beautiful and green, and on this side in the Judean, what is called the Judean desert, is stark, dusty, ain't nothing out there. Matter of fact, it's so desolate, jackrabbit and rattlesnake don't even hang out. It's desolate. It's a desert. It's deserted. You ain't got no provisions out there. But yet, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. Lord, please tell me why. Why the desert? Why not test him over in across the Jordan, where it's fertile and green? See, because in the desert, you ain't got no resources. In the desert, you got to depend totally on God. You know, it's easy when things are going well for you to talk about you trust God, you worship God, and all of that. It's easy, you know, to give when you got money. Can you give when you're broke? Oh, I'll come back to that later if I get time. But here, he takes him to the wilderness to be tested. Verse 2 says what?
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry.
Now I want y'all to tell me, some of you dietitians that are in here, you know, some of you master chefs, 40 days, no food. 40 days. It's hard for me to fathom the last 40 minutes. 40 days, no food. Can you imagine how weak your body is? As a matter of fact, they say after a 40-day fast, you're subject to even become delusional. That's why some of the skeptics have said this was all in his mind. Wasn't in his mind. This was physical deprivation. In the desert, without resources. And when he had finished it, he was hungry. He was some kind of hungry. He was as hungry as a Baptist deacon at the Sunday service. He was hungry. He was hungry. And when the tempter came, y'all didn't get that. Why you gonna show up when I'm hungry? See, because that's what the devil does. The devil takes you when you are isolated, when you want to stay home rather than come to worship, when you'd rather not go to prayer meeting, when you'd rather not go to Bible study, when you'd rather not meet in fellowship ministry. You're just fertile ground for the devil. That's the time he's going to show up. He's going to show up. Oh, so you're hungry. So you're hungry. It said that Jesus was what? Hungry. That sounds like a man to me. That don't sound like God. Ah, the God man is hungry. The God man is hungry. The devil shows up. And when the tempter came to him, what did he say? Understand the power of if in the Bible, because it's easily translated since. Since you are the Son of God, turn this bread, turn this stone, these stones into bread. Folk, whenever you are out there thirsting, hungry for worldly things, that's when the devil is going to show up in the wilderness. But you've got to do, Jesus is going to show us in a few minutes, what do you do when you're being tempted in the wilderness? Know one thing, this wilderness won't last always, because it was a spirit that took him to the wilderness. And if the spirit takes you to the wilderness, the Spirit will take you through the wilderness. Y'all don't hear me. Wait a minute. It was God that was trying. A lot of times we give the devil too much credit. We think that act like he's going to win. But what do you do when you got power and the devil wants you to use it for perverted reasons? Folks, that's exactly what that is. You know why? Because he's asking the bread of life to turn stones into bread. Devil, are you joking? Are you serious? You want me to use power to do something? To prove something that I already am? Let me tell you something. If Jesus is the beloved son in the water, he's the beloved son in the wilderness. You don't have to prove nothing to anybody just because you're in your wilderness experience. You don't have to use the power that you have just because you're in the wilderness for wrong reasons. You know, powerless people can't do wrong right. Y'all didn't hear me. They, Harriet, they didn't get that. I'm telling you, you need power. A thief, a robber, he's got to go get a gun in order to do the wrong thing right. He go to a bank and says, "Hi, I'm here. Can y'all please give me some money?" "Where's your gun?" "Ain't got no gun." "Boom, I do." Powerless people can't do wrong right. You know, you're going to get mad and not tired. Are you upset because you ain't got no money? 10% of zero is zero. You need working capital, power, in order to withhold it. If you ain't got nothing, you're not withholding anything. If you don't have anything, Jesus has all power. We know that. But he's in an emaciated condition. He's in a debilitated condition. And the devil always comes to you in your weakness, because God always tests you in your area of strength. The devil tries to test you in your area of weakness. See, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that the test that God is testing himself is in power. Will you misuse power just to prove who you are? Somebody better hear me this morning. Oh, you're a big shot now. Oh, you got the power. But will you manipulate power in order to prove who you are? Oh, somebody better help me this morning. Somebody heard it. I know some of you heard that. Because that's what Jesus is showing. You know what? Don't worry about folk who have perceived power and who misuse it to do wrong things. Don't worry about that. You are a follower of Christ, and you got power. And you don't want to do it. In other words, if you do the right thing for the wrong reason, that's wrong. You know how I know? If you think that by any means necessary, we're just going to get folk in here, we don't just get them saved, we'll lie and tell them, you know, we got the greatest church in the world when we know we got the poorest church in the world. You know, we'll tell them that, you know, we'll give them a chicken in every pot, you know. We'll tell them we'll give them money as long as they come to the Lord. No! You know how I know? Nick, here's how I know. Right here, the next verse. But what?
But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
You don't understand, tempter. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by demonstrated power alone. Man does not worry, should not worry so much about material stuff only, but he should be worried about what comes out of the Word of God. In other words, use Scripture whenever temptation comes, whether it be the first one, the second one, or the third one, because the second one is coming. And the warning here, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, just because you got one Bible verse, you think that's going to knock the devil off his game? The devil ain't going to be knocked off his game because you know one Bible verse or two Bible verses or three. You better have some word in you. You remember when Pastor was talking about maturation this morning? You know, I listened very intently, you know, and people were talking about membership. Yeah, membership. And he talked about mission. Yeah, the mission. And he talked about ministry. Yeah, ministry. And he's talking about But let me tell you one thing, folks. If you ain't got no word in you, you can't hold up to what the devil's got to use on you. Because the devil is a mighty force. He doesn't know. He doesn't have foreknowledge. But he's very astute at examining the situation and realizing, hey, these folk in trouble. This is a weak one here. That's why he says in his word, I go back and forth just to see who I can devour. What little weakling is going to come up and try to withstand the wiles of the devil today? What little weakened don't know that Paul said, put on the whole armor of God so that you would be protected from the wiles of the devil? Who don't know that? Who don't know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the word of God? You don't know it if you don't study it. You don't know it if you're not in maturity. You don't know that, well, I ain't in the maturity ministry. Are we all in the maturity ministry? Because we all got something we don't know. But you know what I found? The more you know, the more the devil gonna come. Because the devil don't know how to quit. Evil does not know when to quit, folk. I mean, there's prime example. Evil does not want to. If some of these folk that are so-called in charge right now would just shut their mouth, don't say another word, just let things ride on the shoulders of the one who says the government is on his shoulder, they'd be so much better off. But evil does not know when to quit. You know how I know? Then the devil. Oh, did y'all see red fire? Oh, did y'all think I was going to run away from that? Oh, yeah, Jesus, that was really nice. That was some good scripture. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And what they say here, very confusing verse here, is that the devil took him somewhere. Let me tell you something. The devil can't take you nowhere that God doesn't permit. The devil can't do nothing with you that God don't allow. Some of the stuff that you're going through, God is permitting it. Wait a minute. Oh, you better than Job? You better than Peter? The first pope? You better than them? You better than Paul? Just because you quote a few scriptures and can pray a little prayer does not mean the devil's going to leave you alone. Devil said, okay, come on up here. Let me show you something. But let me show you this one. See, what he was trying to do is get Jesus to manipulate his power. But in verse 5, he took him up to this mountaintop, is really what it was. And what did he say to him?
If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against his own.
You know scripture? So does the devil. But what the devil is astute at is scripture twisting. Come here, 105. I got in 105, folks. Anybody ever been in 105 in the evangelism process that know that that's exactly when you hear people twisting scripture, all they're doing, they're of the devil. They're trying to manipulate scripture to help you deal with a particular situation. And in this particular situation, he's trying to tell Jesus to show off. You're the Son of God? Go up to this mountain. Jump off it. And Jesus could have done it. But he showed off. He would be showing off. And the issue is, you deal with the devil the way that you always deal with the devil. Scripture, but you got to know scripture to deal with scripture. That's why we in the equipping business here at Resurrection Baptist Church under the purpose paradigm of maturity. Not important? Oh, some of you, oh, shout. Brown doesn't have a hallelujah one for you today, but it made me shout. Oh, I wanted to get up and do my thing. Joe Harris is holding my hand. Don't do it, D. But them the kind of shouting sermons I heard this morning. That's a shouting sermon. Because it tells you what your real purpose is. And if you know who you are, you know what your purpose is. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus says, turn stone into bread, I'm the bread of life. Oh, throw myself off this building? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 7. Y'all read it.
Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
How you going to give me something I already got?
All right.
you going to make me something or someone I already am? I'm God. And the scripture says you shouldn't tempt God. Devil, you know better than that. You got kicked out of heaven for that very same thing. See, when you know who you are, circumstances won't dictate your answers. Oh, times are tight. I could do this, and I would be right in doing it. But Jesus says, you don't have the right, first of all, to test me. That's irreverent. But you don't even have the right to tempt me, because the scripture is clear. That ain't something you should do. Only God gives the test. If I'm going to have a test, it would be a self-examination. It would be open book, because I wrote the book. I know all that's in the book. But he dealt with them in scripture. Because whenever they twist the scriptures to manipulate their own way, what you have to do is correctly state scripture so that you can correct that way. See, because that's what scripture is for. Reproof, correction. You see what I'm saying? But you got to know it. You got to have a life of studying the scriptures so that you can deal with the devil not even on his level. Because I'm going to tell you, he knows it, but he's going to twist it. And he's going to try to get you to do something that you should not do. The devil every day is making you trying to spoil, having you to try and spoil your witness. Whenever the devil, man, woman, whoever you are, active out there in the world, in the social life, when someone tries to get you to do something that you know that God is against, you'll simply say no. Wait, children, you know, if I'm talking to the children, when the devil try to tempt you, talk back to your mom and daddy. You say, oh no, the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long. I know that. Devil, you trying to shorten my life, especially if your daddy is T.G. Sneed. Scriptures. In every instance, second temptation, Jesus uses scripture. Again, the devil take him up in the exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory in them. And he said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. How crazy can you get? Does anybody have any money? Quick. I need some money, quick. Ain't nobody got it. It's Christmas time. That's right. Nah, I'll just take this. I got all the money. And I got her identification. Oh. You know what, Phyllis? If you give me a dollar, I'll give this to you. All that's in here. What's wrong with this picture? It belongs to you. How is it that you're going to keep letting the devil trick you into trying to get something that you already got?
Come on, man.
Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of folks, remember I told you, powerless people can't do wrong, right? A lot of people want power. So when the devil comes and says, you can get this, you can edge her out. You can edge Trellis out. You can come in there, bud, take her place, because she has the power. They don't realize you've been given the same power. People worry about positions in ministry and the church. All of us have been given the same power. Do you realize Pastor Brown hasn't been given no more power than you? Oh, y'all don't believe that. Y'all scared to say, Pastor Brown, this is T.G. Snead. You don't have any more power than the people that are in my Sunday school class. Yeah, there I said it. You know why? Because the scripture says, as it is written, but ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You got power when the Holy Ghost hits you. You just tell it. His power is just telling it in a different format. The world is your church. The world, you're the witness to the world. You gotta go. You heard him this morning, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But you can't go there without power. So why would you be looking for something? Why would you make a deal with the devil for something you already got? The Holy Ghost has already given you. Oh, somebody better shout. Oh, it'll make you mumble crazy stuff. I'm telling you. Once again, and Jesus said, then saith what? Is that scripture? Oh, I sure enough believe it is. All three temptations, Jesus just used scripture. He didn't pull out his gun. He didn't pick up one of them stones, try to bust the devil upside the head. He didn't command him, and he could have. He could have commanded that the stones just flew up in the air and attacked the devil. Because after all, he's the God-man. He's got the power. But you know what? He used scripture. So even with a devil, you got to use scripture. That's the only thing that's going to win him over is the scripture. Not your politics. Not even your fellowship. That people tell you all day long, yeah, hey, I hang out with you. I party with you. But I ain't going to church with you. I ain't believing that stuff you talking. You're all right to party with. Oh, because you make some good ribs. I'll be over your house tonight, you know. But I ain't going to church with you. You've got to use the word of God. You've got to use the sweet savor of the word of God. But you can't use it if I'm putting anything in. Nothing in, nothing out. Jesus was well equipped for his test. See, because that's what God does. God prepares you. Because here's what Jesus said. If I was the beloved son in the water, I'm certainly the beloved son in the wilderness. I am who I am no matter what you think of me. You don't have to endorse me. You don't have to love me. You don't have to give to me. You don't have to do nothing for me. I am still who I am. Titles don't make you who you are. It's how you respond to situations that makes you who you are. And can your response be written off as, she must be a child of God. He must be a child of God. You know, when somebody done made you so mad, you bite your own lip. When somebody to make you mad, you grinding your teeth and you ready to, oh, you want to put a stranglehold on them. And instead of strangling them, Jim, instead of, you know, just going upside the head of this person who has perverted a relationship, you don't even know why. This person who has mistreated you, you don't even know why. Instead of you going upside their head, you say, I love you, brother. And I love you just because of who you are. You're a devil. But I love you. You're a devil. But I'm going to pray for you. See, because it's easy to pray for folk who love you and like you. Pouring into your life. It's easy to love them. But what about that devil? Who's out there trying to tempt you, who's trying to misuse you, let you misuse your power, manipulate you. Use scripture on them. Pray for them. And let me show you what will happen as we go. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. For Peter said it best. If you just resist the devil, he'll flee. James picked up the same idea. Resist the devil and he will flee. The only way you resist the devil is with scripture. You don't resist the devil through, oh yes, you know, come here, devil, let me pray for you. Not one time did Jesus say, devil, come here, let me pray for you. You knew it wasn't resisting. But the thing in summing this up, it's amazing when people know who you are. It's really amazing when God knows who you are. But folks, when men know who you are, and God knows who you are, and approves who you are, you can rest assured the devil knows who you are. There's at least three witnesses in every life. Brooke Kent, men, the devil, and God. Always, God's affirmation of who I am makes me who I am. And let me tell you, I've received some fair and some unfair criticism about me and what I do. But I'm going to tell you, just like Jesus told the devil, I'm going to study to show myself approved. A workman capable of rightly dividing the word. It may not be the way that you do it. I may not sing a song. I may not do a scripture the way you do it. But I know who I am. And I know whose I am. And I know what my purpose in life. My life wasn't come to sing operatic solos at the Resurrection Baptist Church. My plan in life was not to be the head of the parking lot. My plan in life was not to be the treasurer of the church. I was clearly told about my assignment. I am clear on my assignment. And don't nobody. So, you know, all of you, farewell wishes included, you know, who come up and say, you know what, Brother Snead, I think you need to be doing, let me tell you one thing. I check with the head coach every day. Lord, you still want me to do that? You get on out there. Get on out there. I got it. And I said, Lord, I tell you what, I ain't going to check with you no more. When you want me to do something different than what I'm doing, come see about me. I know you will. You know why I know? Because as soon as the devil got up out of there, here come angels ministering to Jesus. Do you think those angels weren't ministering all along? Do you think they were there? But they had a role, they had a purpose. The ministering that they did once the devil left was something special and private. Neither nobody. Matthew doesn't talk about it. Luke doesn't talk about it. Mark doesn't talk about it. John certainly don't talk about it. They don't talk about it because he ministered to him. He says, you ready now? Get out there on the field. It's time to start work. And when you read John, next thing you see, Jesus at a wedding, turning water into wine. Now, if he could turn water into wine, don't you think he could turn those stones into bread? But see, he would have been doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Don't ever let the devil tempt you to do even the right thing the wrong way. God bless you. This opportunity.